Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Duquesne tomorrow plays Rhode Island. And, of course, the Dukes have had a season where they've had some, you know, pauses and things of the such like everybody else. Joining me to talk about it on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline is our good friend Keith Dambrot, the head coach of the Duquesne Dukes. And, Keith, it's been one strange season for you guys, hasn't it?
It has. We really haven't been able to really get any consistency whatsoever. When we started to play pretty well, we went on another 18-day shutdown. So it's been a hard deal for sure. But, I mean, a lot of people are going through it this year. It's a strange year.
It is. I mean, and the thing about it is, I know a lot of people are confused sometimes about those pauses. But those pauses are as much about the contact tracing, right? It's not like you have like six guys that are positive. It's just contact tracing and things of the such, right? I mean, it's a whole list of protocols.
Yeah, the last time we had one guy test positive, but we had six guys that were potential candidates. And then you also can't put the other teams you play at risk as well. So if you're doing the right thing, you have to shut down.
Yeah, that makes it really difficult. How difficult is it to have continuity when you shut down and then, you know, how long does it take after a shutdown to get your guys back up into, you know, game shape and ready to play?
Well, I think that's probably been the hardest thing is it's really difficult to be a consistent basketball team when you're not consistently practicing. You're starting over all the time. You've got guys that, you know, aren't in great condition. And then, you know, you have frustration level too for those guys because they're locked in their room. So it's been a real trying experience for everyone. I feel for the players. I feel for the coaches across the country, really, and really college basketball fans as a whole.
Yeah, it's been difficult. I know that. And the other thing is you've lost out on some games now. Tomorrow you play Rhode Island, and I think that's your last game of the regular season, correct?
It is. It'll be the last game, and then they move the A-10 tournament up. So the A-10 tournament will start on Wednesday with the first round, and then hopefully we'll play on Thursday, depending on, you know, what happens tonight and tomorrow. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing is, so you have a little bit of time to get ready for the Atlantic 10 tournament, obviously, and that's a good thing. Now when you play tomorrow, I know that you've already played Rhode Island. So, you know, what are your thoughts on that team and that matchup?
Well, it's a strange thing. Again, we're going to play Rhode Island twice at home in the same year, which I'm sure they're really happy about. The first time we played them at La Roche, and at least we'll play in our arena this time. And, you know, it's only the second game in the new arena, which should be fun for us. And really for us, it's all mindset, you know. And I think that's the hardest thing to gauge at this point for any team across the country. You know, what is your mindset after you've had disappointment after disappointment, you know, with shutdowns and you know, no continuity and not playing a lot of games? So our mindset has to be right, and if our mindset's right, you know, we'll be right there to win.
Yep. You obviously, earlier in the season had a little bit of a change in your roster and things. Do you feel like, you know, you have your team chemistry, you know, and everybody's sort of knowing their roles now, and do you feel good about where you're at going into the end of the season and the tournament?
I think, you know, obviously we're still growing in that stage. I felt really good after we had won those three games in a row. I felt like we were making some huge progress. Then we had a guy that, you know, got sick with the virus, so he kind of had a setback, which changed our rotations a little bit. And so now we're still a work in progress again. So, you know, hopefully, you know, we'll take these 3-4 days and get ready for that tournament. We'll play our best basketball. That's what we're hoping for.
Keith, what's it been like playing in the Cooper, I mean, you know, the Cooper Fieldhouse as opposed to, you know, bouncing around to all the other gyms and all the other things you've done for the last, you know, year or two? What is it like to now finally have that arena and you've got a chance to play in it before?
Well, it's such a nice place that normally I like to practice in the back gym because there's two huge full courts back there. But because it's so nice out on the main arena floor and we haven't been out there that much, we've been practicing there every single day. So it's uplifting. It's really nice. And obviously when you've gone through what we have for over a year and a half, you know, it's great to have our own place. And again, I think the timing of just the name Cooper with the year that we've had is just as relevant also.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty cool that, you know, you guys were able to honor him and his legacy just by having his name on the building is a big thing. And I think that, you know what, it's really going to be something that's a good asset for you in recruiting. But the you know, the question is, when are you going to be able to have, you know, kids on campus and all the other? I think I read that the dead period's, you know, extended to May 31st. Are you ever going to get to show it to recruits in order to use it as a recruiting tool?
Well, we're not going to be able to, but hopefully our admissions people will be able to. Again, this is the strangest environment. And, you know, there's a lot of other factors that's going to make it really strange. First off, you know, the players get another year of eligibility. And then, you know, next year I think they're going to be immediately eligible if they transfer. So you're going to look at a lot of rosters all over the country that are in flux. And the four-year model may just go out the window. It might just be like more of a G League model, 2 years and out or 1 year and out even, where you just have to be flexible and be willing to shuffle your roster, because it sure seems that way to me right now.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, with all of the guys that are going to be in the transfer portal, and, you know, we've seen, what, 650, 700 in the last couple of years. You know, I think, you know, I mean, I could be wrong, but it kind of feels like this year they're going to be pushing 1,000. How do you even recruit, you know, knowing that there's that many experienced guys that are going to be available? How do you even recruit younger guys?
Well, I think you got to be patient. I mean, again, I think it's going to affect those high school guys. And, you know, it's a tough deal. It's a tough deal for the high school kids right now. And I think it's a tough deal for us as well. You know, fortunately for me, I'm not going to have to – if I was a 35-year-old coach, I don't even know if you can coach guys anymore, because the minute you get on them, they transfer. You know, so me, I'm 62 years old, so I can still coach and, you know, because I think that's good for them. I think people need to be coached. They need to be mentored. They need to be told the truth. And I think, you know, while I think they should have the freedom to transfer because it's the right thing, it could hurt young people in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure. I mean, it's such a tough subject, you know, because I agree with you. I tend to agree with you that all of the transferring that's going on and turning it into free agency, that's not good for the, you know, health of college basketball. And the other part of it is, I don't know that it's good for the continuity of like for fans and whatnot to follow teams when you got a, you know, six new guys every single year. That makes it difficult. I think it's going to be, you know, something that. And I don't know what the answer is, but it's going to be something that's got to be looked at and try to figure out a better way to do it.
Well, I agree 100% with you, and I'm not sure it's good for the players. I mean, Paul, you know all the things that we've gone through as adults, you know, all the adversity we've had to fight through and battle. You know, young people are going to have the same adversity. And, you know, really what it teaches them is, hey, when first time I get hit in the mouth or things don't go my way, I can just go somewhere else. And I'm not sure that's good for people either. Now, there's some people that should transfer. And there's other people that should fight through and battle and try to get what they want the hard way.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing about it is, you know, if a guy goes, you know, sometimes you make a mistake in recruiting and maybe a guy's not good enough. Just, you know, not quite good enough to really realistically get into a rotation. But that's not what you've generally seen with all of these transfers, right? I mean, we're seeing guys who are starters transfer all over the place.
Well, I mean, the biggest thing for me is, you know, you hardly ever used to see college coaches fired during this season, and you hardly ever saw guys quit during, you know, three-fourths of the way through the season and just hang it up. So I'm seeing some things that I've never seen in 40 years of coaching. So, again, things are changing, you know, and so guys like me and the older coaches, they're going to have to adapt and be flexible and understand things are changing, and they're going to have to change their ways if they're going to survive.
Well, one thing I was going to say about that is, you know, the thing I've appreciated the most about, you know, the way that you like to do things is you're still kind of old school in that you believe big men should play like big men, which makes you a dinosaur in some ways in today's game. Is that a model you're still going to, you know, keep with, or, you know, are you going to start, you know, getting, you know, these guys that want to stand out there 25 feet away that are 7 foot tall and jack threes?
Well, I like big people that can shoot the ball, but I also like big people that can play with their back to the basket. And I think the uniqueness of that, you know, makes you a little bit different than other people, which makes you a little bit more difficult to play against at times because they don't really play that way anymore. So there's very few teams around the country that really pound the thing inside and believe in that. And, you know, you have to have personnel to do that. But I think for me, I'm going to be a mixture, and I'm going to play the way I have to play in order to win. And I've been in the small colleges where I had no big people, and for the last 15 years I've had good big people, so we throw it in there.
No, that's that was the thing. I mean, there's been, you know, some coaches that have come through and, you know, various different press conferences I've been in where they've sort of lectured about how, you know, the post-up shot is the worst shot, is one of the worst shots in basketball. And it's like, you got a big guy, throw it in there. Of course, Keith, that's me being a big guy, and that's the way I played. I feel like, you know, we're getting guys like me are becoming dinosaurs as well. We're getting, you know, taken out of the game.
Me too, Paul. We're dinosaurs.
No, there's no question. Well, the last one I have for you, I'll let you go. You know, can you give us a little bit of a preview of the Atlantic 10?
Yeah, I think it's up in the air. I mean, you know, we've played almost everybody. We haven't played VCU, but I know a lot about them. I think there's a lot of teams that could win the tournament. And I think there's going to be at least two teams from our league in the NCAA tournament, and maybe more, depending on who wins the tournament. But it's up in the air. St. Bonaventure's been the most consistent team, but they don't have great depth. VCU's athletic, but they have an injury. You've got St. Louis, who, you know, has been hit hard by the virus, and Richmond's a very talented team that really hasn't, you know, done as well also because of the virus. And then you have UMass, who, you know, with Trey Mitchell, who's a Pittsburgh kid, you know, has the best center in the league. So there's a lot of good teams. Davidson. So anything can really happen. I think it's going to depend on who plays the best, you know, obviously, and who shoots the ball in when it matters.
Yeah, you know, that's the big thing, is you got to get hot at the right time and play well. So you said how many teams you think the Atlantic 10 could get in?
I think possibly, you know, 3, 4, at least 2, I think, depending on, you know, what happens at the end of the year. You know, right now I think St. Bonaventure and VCU are in. And depending on what happens with Richmond, and if St. Bonaventure and VCU continue to win, then possibly we can get 3 teams in.
Keith, it goes without saying, best of luck to you and your team tomorrow, obviously, in the Atlantic 10, and hopefully we can hook up again soon.
Sounds great, my friend. Take care.
All right.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.